The Atlas Hour Podcast, a series by Atlas News Plus. Always unbiased and unfiltered.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first ever Atlas News Podcast. This has been a long time coming, and this is your host, Atlas. And with me today is my co-host.
Co-host is T.
And we are just super excited to finally get this off the ground. I know we've been talking about this for years forever. Now. I kind of have a tendency of jumping the gun when it comes to trying to announce ambitions and then them not really coming to fruition. I would say 3 summers ago, we tried to do a podcast called The Beacon, and it ended up we didn't even get to do an episode.
There's some technical difficulties, and just scheduling issues, and then it just kind of fell apart, but, here we are. So hopefully, it's a long time coming. You're not too mad with us.
I can't believe we're finally doing this, but, yeah, so obviously you guys all know me, Atlas. I have probably been running the account longer than you've been following. It's coming up on 8 years now, but I'll get into that later. But I just wanted to start off by just talking about what the podcast will be. We're going to start off bi-weekly, just so we can get into the rhythm of it and get to the hang of it and kind of work out any kinks that are going. Obviously, this is the first pilot episode, so it's going to be a little bit janky. I don't even know what the intro is going to sound like, if there even is one. But yeah, it's going to be bi-weekly. We're just going to do a range of topics. We want to have a lot of guests on, especially ones related to, conflict and news. I have a few ideas of people that I want to bring on, and there have been a few people that I've already asked to come on. So we're going to work with them over the next few weeks to get them on and talking. And sorry if you hear my chair squeaking. But not only having guests on, but we want to cover current events. We want to talk about random and niche aspects of, global news, global warfare, and global politics that may not necessarily be timely, but then also ones that are timely. And then lastly, one thing personally I wanted to do was kind of do some episodes going over OSINT techniques. And if you don't know what OSINT stands for, it's open source intelligence. It's kind of the trailblazing, I guess, type of intelligence that has emerged over the past decade or so. It's becoming more and more important, not only for news, but just intelligence in general. But also importantly, we want to ask you guys about topics you want us to talk about or potential people to have on. We're always open to suggestions. And if you've been following me for a long time, I always listen to you guys.
It's kind of rough because we're like one of the chief architects of starting OSINT by accident on social media, at least. And we don't even really know how to describe it. We'll get more into that later. But it's sort of one of those things where it's so ambiguous of a term, and it covers so much, it's very hard to distinguish like who's an OSINT guy and who's just doing, regular journalism. So we'll kind of distinguish those labels a little bit later. But, it's one of those social media things where your feed is probably blown up with 10,000 different people if you're in this kind of community.
Yeah, the niche online news community on Instagram, and especially Twitter, is, I would say, more so OSINT than journalism at this point. But like we said, we'll get into it in a minute. But I want to start off this podcast. I was talking to T, and I was trying to figure out what the first episode would cover. And we actually, months ago, we talked about just covering random, historical things and whatnot. But then as the deadline started creeping up for us to record, I just wanted to explain the story of Atlas News and kind of how it began, from what I know, at least, because I'm not the one that started the page, and to where it is now and then where it's going to be. So I'm going to take a bit of a personal story with this and just talk about how I got into this. I would say my interests in news in general started in about the eighth grade. Before then, I was a bit naive to what was happening outside of the United States, let alone what was in the United States. I didn't look into politics at all. I didn't look at news other than local news. And just in the eighth grade, it was 2014. So the Ukraine conflict kicked off, the Ukraine civil war, after Euromaidan. And I really got pulled into Vice News at that time. And say what you want about Vice News now, but back then it was pretty awesome, especially with the dispatches that they did from Ukraine, at least in my opinion, because it was just so raw. And for me, it was a big wake up call because I had no idea what was going on in the world outside of the United States. And from there, I started, looking into Ukraine and how the conflict started. And then I started branching out into researching Islamic terrorism. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And I was just spending all day after school just researching and looking into conflicts and current events. And about that time, I made my first personal Instagram account. And I was trying to find accounts to follow. And I came across a page called The War Blog. And The War Blog at the time solely focused on the Ukraine conflict. So me looking at, the Vice News stuff and reading other news, I was attracted to this account because whoever ran it posted, quick bite-sized updates about the conflict that I just found really appealing. And over the time I realized, and from what the first admin kind of let people know, is that he was Australian. And the way that the time zones differed is that when I'd wake up every morning before I went to school, all his posts would be at the top of my feed. So I'd read them before I went to school. And over time, he slowly started branching out into news outside of the Ukraine conflict because it started slowing down and stagnating. And he changed the name of the page to Atlas News. And at that point, I had been following for, a while, massive fan. And as I started going into high school, the posts started to decline in frequency. And there were about, 3-4 month spans where there wouldn't be any posts. And granted, the page was very small at this point. I think it only had less than 10,000 followers, and it was following about the same amount. And I was genuinely worried because I really enjoyed this page. So I think I was about a freshman or a sophomore, and I DM'd the admin, and I was like, "Hey, I have zero qualifications to write for you." And honestly, I didn't know anything about this guy. Like, I didn't know if he was like a professional journalist or not. And I was like, "Hey, can I write for you? Seems like you need help." And I didn't hear back for a long time. I didn't even think he read the message. And then one day I think it was over the summer. Actually, no, I think it was like September of my junior year of high school. I got a message back, and it was the original Atlas. And he's like, "Hey, I'm going to be gone for the weekend. Here's the login information. Don't fuck this up." I was like, "Shit, I have no idea what to do." So I think the first thing I wrote was like a 2-sentence article about some earthquake in Chile. And at the time I had no idea what I was doing. So like, I was looking at what was trending on like CNN and Fox News and like, more mainstream outlets, because I was only in high school and I had no idea what I was doing. And he came back, page didn't implode. He's like, "Hey, I'd like to keep you around." And I was like, "All right, sure." And he brought in a few more people, and I'm just going to make a long story short, but there was some fighting between some of the other people he had brought on to write, where they would essentially change the password to the account and not tell the person that they didn't like that they changed it and shared amongst all the other people. So people are getting kicked out of the account left and right. And eventually the original Atlas was like, "I'm sick of this, kicking you all out." And then he just had me. So for the next few weeks, it was me and him writing, and I was kind of finding my voice in writing and figuring out how to write news articles. And then I logged in one day and he was like, hey, if you're reading, it was a post on the account. He's like, hey, if you're reading this, I'm leaving the account. I am going to go fight with the Kurds against ISIS in Syria or some shit like that. And he's like, the other admin, please like change the password, the account's yours, whatever. And I was like, what? And I actually had come to know that, you know, the original admin was just some dude from Australia. And I don't even think he was Kurdish at all. But I was just dumbfounded by this revelation, I guess. And just to make another long story short, he never ended up going to Syria or fighting. I actually have no idea what he does now. I don't think I've talked to him in years. But
yeah, I was about to say, you told me this story more than a few times, and that was always the thing that struck me, was that he never actually ended up going. I think he just disappeared off of the account, and that was that.
Yeah, I don't know if he wanted to go out a hero or whatnot, but yeah, he never ended up leaving. And I had no idea what his plan was, because he wasn't Kurdish. And I mean, I've come to know a lot of foreign fighters that fought with the Kurds, with the YPG and Peshmerga, and they don't let anybody in. Like, you need to have military experience or you need to have like Kurdish roots. And he was literally just some random dude from Australia. So I had no idea what his actual plan was, but he might've been led on by somebody. But
yeah, we've had that was kind of one of our claim to fames, was early on, was just how close our reporting was to the Peshmerga forces. And we got some good relationships out of that.
Yeah, definitely. I would like Peshmerga Norn, Peshmerga Sui, like those guys, like the early years of the account, especially when I was running it, they were great with just giving information and sharing their experiences. And it's just crazy for me to think like, oh, I'm in high school, but like, you know, I'm talking to these guys on a daily basis about what they're doing against ISIS. But yeah, after he left, I had a hard time figuring out how to write. Cause like I said, at first, like for me initially, it was essentially taking information from mainstream outlets, summarizing it, you know, filtering out the bias, and obviously, you know, crediting and citing them. But it just didn't seem right to just regurgitate news. And my first thought was like, well, where are they getting their information from? So I started looking at primary sources. I started following and frequently checking on like government and military websites, and, you know, local news outlets. And, you know, I tried to get as first, like ground level as you could with sources that, you know, to the point where it's like the next thing better would just be me physically being there. And I also spent a great time trying to like reach out to people to build contacts and, you know, try to get as raw of information as I could. And obviously one thing I want to do while reporting was just keeping it as unbiased as possible, because from my point of view, I'm an observer, and I'm a pretty, like, granted, you know, I'm a human being, so I have my own personal opinions on politics and whatnot. But for the most part, I'm pretty, I'd say, apolitical. And I think it's just come with running the page. I've just given up, like, because grand scheme of things, my opinion doesn't matter. It won't change the world. So,
you see a lot of, I think it's, you see a lot of stuff when you report, like we report, and especially surfing through the internet all day, looking at conflict and terrorism, because I mean that's where the page's interests really started, in the forefront, was just terrorism and conflict. And I think that kind of desensitizes you, or at least I think it did for you and I, from a lot of the ideological pushes, you know, like you just kind of stop putting your own opinion and your own bias towards things when you're constant and you're constantly in at least Atlas as well, putting that in check, because the thing that we feared the most when we first started this thing was sounding like we knew what we were talking about in our own personal opinions, I think.
And I think a big thing too is with being in, hold on one second, sorry. virus popped up, virus protection popped up on my screen. But
let's just cut this part.
No, we can keep it. It's fine. It's funny. But when it came to like, because the Atlas before me, like the OG Atlas, his thing was being as unbiased as possible. And I wanted to carry that on because for me, I feel like it's unfair for people to get biased information. And I try to keep it as raw as possible. And granted, reading some of the stuff I write, yes, it sounds kind of, you know, cut and dry, you know, just numbers and locations and names. But I think people appreciate it because it is just factually grounded. And I'm not trying to prove anything. I think a lot of people, when they read my stuff, they have their own, they go into reading it with their own perceptions about what they want to see out of it or whatnot. And, you know, granted, there's always two sides to every story, and I try to show both sides. But I see a lot of people come to the comments and they're like, why does it sound like this? And it's like, well, I didn't write it to try to sound like this. I think you came in to it with a preconceived notion, trying to think it sounded a certain way. Because for me, and I've been on a couple other podcasts, nothing too big, but I keep saying it every single time, I really don't care about like most things. I don't have any skin in the game when it comes to these conflicts. I don't have any skin in the game when it comes to politics. My hobby and my passion is just trying to provide the truth. And I think people get really upset when they want to perceive something a certain way and then they see it not being that exact way. And, you know, that's their own opinion. That's fine by them. But I just try to keep that notion of being unbiased throughout the years. And that led me to kind of discover how OSINT works. And when I started getting into running this page, OSINT wasn't really a thing, as T noted, at least a mainstream thing. And for those that don't know what open source intelligence is, it is leveraging any publicly available information to just get information. It's quite simple. So anything on the internet, and that could range from, you know, social media to news websites to government websites to NGOs or blogs or forums. It doesn't matter. If it's on the internet, it's publicly available information.
And there's a lot of information out there that's just not being utilized. And I think the main thing is, like, if you can start utilizing that information in a clean and clear way, you have a lot more content on your hands. I mean, it's a decentralized, the internet is just such a decentralized place. Even now, it used to be more decentralized, but, you know, any information that's publicly available can suddenly become a much more important piece of information if 100,000 people sees it rather than 10, you know?
Exactly. And it's to the point now where I think governments and militaries are finally starting to recognize the importance of this field, because before, you know, intelligence was, you know, satellite imaging, you know, word of mouth, people going undercover, but now you can like geolocate enemy positions from a Twitter post. It's insane where the information space has gone in regards to just the availability of information.
I mean, we have friends who are former security analysts in naval intelligence or in, you know, army intel, and for the United States mostly. If you're a international intel analyst, we might want, or ex intel analyst, I should say, we might want to talk to you at some point. but I think the main thing is that the takeaways that I see from the change that's been happening within the security apparatus of different countries is that, you know, those US analysts, they told us straight up they weren't allowed to use the internet for like the majority of their career up until very recently. They were supposed to make everything through word of mouth, everything through face-to-face contact with, you know, people who were middlemen between them and the people that they were trying to get on-ground information from. And there's a huge shift now to starting to utilize OSINT and also just in general the internet. I think that that's a very indicative of like where all of this is going.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely like a budding flower of, I guess, the intelligence tradecraft. And as I said, like, you know, 10 years ago, this wasn't really a thing. But also, if you look at like 10 years ago, social media wasn't that big. Like, you had Facebook, and I don't even think Instagram was around then. If it was, it was really small. Twitter was
probably... MySpace was dying.
Yeah, MySpace was dying. It's like... It's like back then you had people posting, like, I remember in, like, when I was in middle school, kids thought that they were the shit by having a Facebook account, and they would post pictures of themselves, like, in fifth grade, like, like smoking weed with my friends. And then their mom follows their Facebook and they think that, like, you know, people won't see it. It's like,
I never made a Facebook. I was scared I wouldn't have enough friends because everybody had like 400 friends. And I was like, I don't know that many people. I can't do that. But then as you get older, you realize it was just them following like random 30-year-old men or like people just randomly liking each other and liking each other's posts or friending each other. But to me, it was like so serious. I was so scared of like not having 400 friends on Facebook.
Dude, my mom even let me have a Facebook. She was like, no. And I was like, why not? Like, I think I just wanted to want one. I didn't even know what I was going to post. Cause like, I'm a pretty private person as it is. So, I don't know what I was even going to post, but I'm glad I don't even use Facebook, which is fine. But honestly, that's good because the thing about our generation, and this is where open source intelligence comes into it, is that a lot of us, our entire lives are recorded on Facebook. And if it's not on your own Facebook, it's on your parents' Facebook. And that lends a lot of information to any eyes that want to see it. And I just want to switch gears. But when it comes to like learning OSINT, like I said, it wasn't like a well-established thing when I started running this page. And I had to like teach myself like what to do. And I just naturally shifted from looking at, you know, news websites to focusing on social media. And that was mainly because you would see posts on social media before anywhere else. And, you know, the reality of it is that people will tweet about a school shooting before calling 911 about it. Like, you will see people respond to incidents over Twitter, and it's absolutely insane. And just getting that tip off, and, you know, not saying it's a good thing, because obviously anything that we kind of post about on our page is not very good, but, you know, having that tip off is good in a sense that you can alert people quicker and you can, you know, provide information faster. But also, Twitter is a cesspool of dog shit and misinformation. Yeah. So that's where we come in and, you know, try to weed out the bullshit and verify what is and what isn't going on. And granted, you know, we have bullshit monitors, but not everybody else does. And I think misinformation, at least in the past 5 years, has become very, very, very intricate. And it's not just like, hey, you know, there's a terrorist attack and people are giving wrong numbers, or they're saying that there's more things that are happening. Because in reality, whenever incidents like that happen, there's a lot of misunderstanding and confusion and chaos. But like nowadays you see like deep fakes, you see video game footage being passed off as combat footage. Granted, knock on wood, I have not fallen for that yet, but I know people that have. I remember back in high school, the whole Sam Hyde meme, or, I mean, it's still going on, but the whole, like, you know, whenever there's a terrorist attack or a mass shooting, people would be like, you know, Sam Hyde did it. And then there'd just be I think CNN Turkey covered it once. And it's like, really? And I think it just, you know, you kind of have to grow up in the environment to understand the nuances of it. But I think traditional media doesn't understand.
It's media literacy. And I think, wasn't it just the Ayatollah? Didn't he just blame the United States and Israel for all of the rioting going on? Like, literally just straight up was like, oh yeah, that's just USA, Israel agitation. It's all propaganda. Don't worry about it. And then you were talking about how, you know, sometimes people tweet about things before they even call the police, but a lot of our content is also, okay, well, you know, do you call the police when you're in a huge riot in the middle of Iran against their morality police? Like, no, you just post it to Twitter. It's just such a natural instinct around the world now. And it's very, very interesting to have grown up seeing the shift into that sort of public releasing of really, really, really intimate footage that's happening on ground.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
And you don't even have just Twitter. Like, Twitter is very popular, like, more so in the West and like Europe and the Middle East, but then, you know, in Russia, in Africa, Telegram's very popular. And, you know, I think most of the people, if you follow our page, you know what Telegram is. And then you got VK and Weibo, and you have all these different media platforms across the globe, and they all serve the same purpose of, you know, people posting, you know, granted they're made for people to connect and share photos and, you know, like each other's shit, but then you got people that post news and raw information, and that's where we come in. And it, OSINT isn't just looking at tweets, because you have to corroborate the information. And just like a example workflow, it's like, all right, there's a video of a rocket attack in Ukraine. Actually, I'm going to use one, a real life example I did. So back when Russian forces were rolling into Anerdogar, and apologies for probably butchering that, but it was where the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is. There were, the civilians set up essentially a roadblock to block Russian forces from getting in, but then eventually the Russian forces pushed through, and footage was released of that happening. And you got to be like, all right, let's look at the location. So you take the video, and then you try to geolocate it using, I use Google Earth, to be honest. And Bing Maps. So Bing Maps uses Maxar imaging, which is, in my opinion, better than Google Maps, but only in some instances. But just out of convenience, because I hate Bing, I use Google Maps. And
all my homies hate Bing.
Yeah, fuck Bing. And what you do is you take the video, you look for identifiable landmarks. So in this case, it was a tank rolling down a road, and you could see some, you could see a, like a power line tower in the background. You see some road signs and whatever. I was able to geolocate it to a specific road outside the city, where they just, like, literally probably like 400 feet away from the roadblock, which I had previously geolocated. And like, all right, cool. They said that the tanks started rolling in at this time. So this is probably something that normal people don't pay attention to, but I'm not normal. I was looking at the shadows, and I'm like, all right, cool. If the shadow's directly underneath the tank, it means it's high noon. What time was high noon on that date? And you look it up. You're like, all right, cool. So we know that at this time, at this location, this happened, and it corroborates with these reports. And one thing you also see a lot with news, especially on the internet, is there's a latency in reporting. And, you know, it's not on purpose, but, you know, it takes time for information to disseminate. So, you know, there might be a video of something happening that was posted, but it was taken, or it was taken at the time of it happening, but then it was posted several hours later, which doesn't mean that it happened at that exact moment. So for the sake of accuracy, you need to, like, check these things. But yeah, OSINT is really intricate. And I want to have a podcast episode explaining all the different aspects of this, because it really is, if I were to talk about everything OSINT has, this podcast would be like 8 hours long. But just,
yeah, I mean, that's a completely separate show as well. We could just do a completely separate show just talking about it. And also, just to elaborate on that shadows example, you can't do that if you think the world's flat. So, you know, don't try.
Says who?
says the shadows, man.
Obelisk
and themes and an obelisk in,
I just saw that video on Instagram. Do you see the short? It was, I was like cruising through.
Carl Sagan?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just saw that.
He's a G.
What else is there? Oh, yeah. So OSINT.
Back onto the history of Atlas News, I think.
Yeah, right? Back on the, well, I want to make a point, because I was talking, I'm hyping up OSINT, but then, like, at first, when I first started, well, not when I first started this page, when I first started taking over, and granted, when I, you know, the page was tiny when I took it over. So, you know, three accounts later, over a million combined followers amongst the accounts, like whatnot. But in the beginning, I considered myself a journalist because I didn't know what OSINT was. I actually didn't know what OSINT was until a few years ago. And that was by, you know, just somebody I knew. And he's like, hey, like, what you do is OSINT. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I ended up, I actually had a class in college that touched upon OSINT. And I was like, oh, shit. But I would say nowadays, I don't consider myself a journalist. I consider myself an OSINT analyst. And I think people are intimidated by the word analyst and think that it has some form of, like, you know, intelligence agency angle to it. But there are a lot of intelligence analysts, you know, for like business markets and whatnot. But when it comes to journalists, I think of journalists as people that, you know, are on the ground, they interview people, they're making a story. And, you know, sometimes journalists try to prove a point or they're trying to express an opinion. But when it comes to OSINT, raw information that's, you know, factually sound, like it can't lie. You can't really spin it if you provide it in the correct manner. If you post a video of a missile strike and you're like, hey, missile strike happened here, here's footage, here's, you know, what both sides are saying, like, that's pretty cut and dry. And granted, journalism and OSINT, you know, go hand in hand a lot. But in my opinion, I wouldn't consider myself a journalist. I consider myself an OSINT analyst. And, it, you know, most of my work is done at home. I've only traveled a couple times to cover stories. And there are other people that write for my page. And then there are other journalists out there in the world that, you know, go to places and talk to people. But, you know, it's in the name, like, open source intelligence. So it's publicly available information online. So for me, most of my work is done at a computer on my phone. So I would consider myself an OSINT analyst and not a journalist, because for me, intelligence, if done right, can't be biased because it's just raw information. Whereas, you know, journalism can be biased in some instances. And, you know, not bashing journalists, because there are a ton of amazing journalists out there that are unbiased and that are doing a great job reporting on what's happening in the world. But just as a kind of perspective thing, I wouldn't wrote myself into that. And it's something I've kind of just thought about more recently than anything.
I think a good avenue in which you can kind of look at all this is you have somebody like Jake Hanrahan, Popular Front, friend of the show. Am I allowed to say that? I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Jake Hanrahan, awesome guy. He's a extremely good journalist. And he also, you know, is hand in hand with the OSINT world. He publishes similar updates to us. And he, you know, he has his own sort of flair when he posts, and he has his own biases, and he doesn't really hold back on those the same way that we kind of keep ours in check. So if you like that sort of content, then yeah, definitely check him out. And you might disagree with him a lot, so then unfollow him, I'm sure, and follow Atlas News instead. But anyway, he sort of does both. He has his at home computer updates on, you know, just what's going on and reporting on that sort of stuff. But then he also will go out and do independent stories and publicly funded journalism when it comes to, you know, 3D printed guns and other things that he is breaking a story on. He is actively showing a side of the world that he has to go and uncover through contacts and through physical sources. That is something that, you know, we can definitely look at and analyze the creation and supply of 3D printed guns. I mean, there's a ton in Europe. There's a ton in now going on in the conflict in Myanmar against the military junta there. There's a ton of really, really great open source case studies on that sort of stuff. But in order to go there and, you know, interview somebody who is actively in the community and actively doing these things and covering their biases and their narrative and the things that they want to achieve, and doing that accurately and without misrepresenting anything, that's a real talent that I think journalists are really good at. But that's not something that I think you and I particularly have a interest in doing. Not to say it's a bad thing, but it's just not where you and I, our interests don't line, or don't really line up there.
No, like for me, I get my kick out of sitting at a computer and, you know, locating videos and photos and looking at government reports and whatnot.
Have you ever thought we're just lazy? We just don't like moving around?
Bro, and traveling's hella expensive, dude. I'm not paying, especially with flight tickets now, I'm not going out to these places. And
yeah, no, but definitely like, not.
Props to Filthy American and Our Worst Today.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
They just went to Ukraine, and they write for us. They did a great job, especially Chase. He was there for a while, and got some really great content, and he's going to be spending the next few weeks putting up different articles and stuff on that. But just,
and we have to like put a pin in that and talk about that later, because we're publishing that content on our platform. And I think that that is more where our interest kind of lies with journalism, of like, we, Atlas and I don't necessarily want to do that. I certainly don't really want to go and you know, form a narrative and try and figure out a story to crack. But we have people who we know who are extraordinarily talented at that sort of stuff, and we want to provide them with a platform that's censor free, in order for them to start that process of gaining, you know, a dedicated following within Atlas's orbit.
Yeah, and actually, just kind of to, in the same vein, and to move on to the next point, is like where Atlas is now. So just to provide a brief update, I'd say over the past years, after was during like, you know, the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan, but I would say last June or July, actually no, two June,
April, I think, right?
I thought it was whenever the first page got taken down, because I was like, this is horse shit. I'm going to start a Patreon, try to like, you know, do something more with this.
That was the, that was like the 7-day or the 3-day ban that you got. And then, you know, not to spoil the story, we're telling a non-chronologically, non-linear storytelling here. But then Atlas reached out to me, and we'll elaborate more on my involvement before, but that was when you got a temporary ban, on atlas.news, our first, account, rest in pepperoni pizza, I guess. And it just was a huge wake up call, because, you know, the account had been suspended a little bit here and there before, got some strikes on it, but it had never been like banned. And you got it back, but shortly thereafter, like 2 months after, I think, we started the Patreon and everything, that's when it was perma banned and we had to go to a backup.
Yeah, it was a crazy, I don't even know how to describe it. It went from, because Instagram, back in the day, Instagram was great, because if you were naughty on Instagram, they would delete a post. And as long as you didn't, if you weren't naughty too much in a short time frame, it would like almost reset, like your strikes would reset. But then once Facebook bought Instagram, they kept tabs on your strikes. And you had, I think it was like 5 strikes or something. But these strikes could have been like, if you commit like 2 strikes and then a year later you commit another strike, and then 10 years down the road you commit another strike, they're keeping track on all your strikes, so they consider you bad the whole way through. So what happened was with Afghanistan, they were trying to limit what they considered terrorist propaganda from the Taliban by imposing restrictions on content that mentioned them or photos of them, because
it's sort of like a blanket ban.
Yeah, it was
on that
blanket ban on content, because what they're trying to do is like, oh, we don't want terrorist propaganda getting out. But what's happening is swallowing up anybody that talked about it, including Atlas News. So but that started happening, and then posts of mine from like 4 years ago started getting taken down, and eventually the first page got deleted, came back, would post one thing, get deleted, came back. I think it happened like 4 or 5 times. By that time I moved on to the second account. Second account got deleted once, got it back, and then it got locked out permanently for quote unquote suspicious activity, which is complete horseshit. But
and you believe it, guys? A page about conflict and global terrorism actually talked about the Taliban more than in, you know, April or March of 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff from like 2018, 2017 was getting taken down just because it mentioned Taliban, or it had like a picture of like some, you know, Afghan fighter, you know, with the Al-Qaeda flag or whatnot that we used. And again, we try not to use those types of images anymore, but that was like 4 years ago. Yeah,
we learned our lesson.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Instagram's so stupid because they would like take down pictures of just like, I just post a picture of like Afghan people and they're like, we're taking this down for promoting the Taliban. I'm like, bro, these are just like normal people.
Yeah, they just look like that. You know, they just have beards and they wear, you know, white outfits. I'm sorry that the Taliban also does that. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. But it was just at that time, I would say I was worried. And that's when I started thinking about, you know, really moving forward and getting off platform. Not permanently, obviously. I will always post on the Instagram, but we were seriously thinking about, you know, not necessarily jumping ship, but, you know, getting somewhere where we wouldn't be banned. And we had some mutual friends of ours, mutual friends through another friend that helped us start up the website, which was fantastic because not only do I post on there, you know, a bunch of other pages like Tesseron and Filthy American and Our Wars and stuff like that, they post on there. And it's just a place where we can literally post and talk about whatever we want without it being banned. And then on top of that too, this was a dream of mine for years, finally got an app, and it's just
how many awesome. Times if I had a nickel for every single time we had put an app is coming soon in the comments,
oh my god,
I would be a rich man, a very, very rich man.
Dude, I was so naive when I first started wanting an app. I remember I reached out to this guy and I'm like, how much is it? And he's like, for you a discount, like $17,000. I'm like, dude, I don't think I've ever seen $17,000 in my
entire life. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What? I'm 16. $17,000. Sign me right up. $1,000 every single year of my life plus one.
Yeah. It was just something that wasn't feasible at the time, but we played our cards right and we grinded and we were able to get the website and the app out. And
we were so scared for so long of doing a Patreon or asking for any funding at all in any way or donations. We were so scared. We thought people were going to, you know, start calling us shills and saying we're working for some sort of George Soros type. And I don't even know. It was rough. We were really worried that some people were going to call us, you know, super biased for taking money from anybody or doing any ads or anything. So we stopped considering it for a very, very long time. And that's where that 2020 ban really kind of opened our eyes to, okay, well, maybe we can start actually crowdfunding this into making it something more substantial than just an Instagram account.
Yeah. And what was great is that, like, you know, from what we made when we had the Patreon, it was up for a few months. The money that we made from that paid for the app and the website, which was amazing because it was from you guys that, you know, thank you all for whoever contributed. Thank you. And we were able to, you know, get this off the ground and it was really awesome. And now it's like we are going places that I never imagined this page would get to. And it's funny too, because the small amount of people that actually know who I am and that I can talk about this with, like, I've always told them, I'm like, you know, this is crazy how a hobby in high school turned out into this. And now I'm speaking on a podcast in front of random people. And I have no idea how many people are going to listen to this, but
10, my mom being
at
one
least,
of them.
At least 10 and my mom as well.
But that's 12. That's 12, that's people.
12 people. But it's just crazy. And also, it's a bit humbling. And I just want to thank everybody that is listening. But I just want to talk about also, like, you know, the page, where the page is right now, like I said, we got the Instagram third account. I've not been naughty in a while, so there's no strikes against the account.
We haven't gotten a spanking from Zuck in a very long time.
Yeah, and our actually, clean. Side note, complete side note, I would say the 3 months, so I would say the summer of, what was that, 2021, fall of Afghanistan?
2020, I thought.
2020, all
right. Yeah, because it was like right after Biden took the presidency, right?
No, it was a year ago. It was a year ago this summer. So 2021.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I just graduated.
So,
well, I think I'm right too, because I'm an idiot and I thought 2020 was when Biden took office, but January of 2021. So yeah, 2021. I believe it was like March or April. Because the pullout policy, the pullout game of the US government is very flawed, and we decided to keep the pullout policy for Afghanistan, and then like most of those kind of security apparatus situations where a large amount of Western troops are leaving, like a very, very unstable situation, it just fell apart so quickly.
Dude, it says in The Art of War, I'm not sure if you've read it, but it literally says,
Sun Tzu's my homie.
Dude, it says that when you're evacuating a country, you need to give up your most strategic air base before you evacuate. It even says it in the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I remember that. It's in like the 9th chapter, right? Yeah. Under when he's talking about leading your enemy into a false retreat. But then in a subsection B, he says, lead your enemy into a false retreat and then pull out of your most important military base, and expensive aircraft are to be left behind.
But what I was going to say, though, like jokes aside, is that summer was brutal for my page, because I literally blew through 3 pages, had to start from scratch, and it honestly sucked. And because there were times I wanted to give up. There were times where I'm like, is this really worth it? Because honestly, like, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but I expect if I'm not sleeping or working or eating, I am writing for this page, and it takes up a lot of my time. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh, like, woe is me. I love doing it. This is my favorite thing in the world, but it does take up all of my free time. And there was a point where I'm like, am I really, should I move on to something more productive because of the amount of restrictions I was getting?
And but for years we were told, like, oh, this is just a hobby. Like, go do something with your time that's going to like build a career. I was told that so many times of, yeah, like,
fuck those people,
that this wouldn't be a company, that this wouldn't be a business that would ever. And I don't even like calling it a company, just at my brain immediately just thinks of like money grubbing. But, you know, as a successful, I guess, entrepreneurial, and that even sounds worse. Enterprise. What sounds good? Business doesn't sound good. Enterprise doesn't sound good. Entrepreneur.
We're a hustle. We're a hustle.
We're a side hustle. And now we're a main hustle. But yeah, I think that's the perfect way of describing it, is like, I never thought that it would be a real thing, because so many people around me just didn't really understand what it was. Like, I mean, if you ever try and tell your parents like about anything, if you say, I have 15,000 followers, mom, versus I can fill a stadium of 15,000 people, their brains just can't connect with the first one, but they can with the second one. And then there comes a point where they just stop understanding like what it is that you do, no matter how like young or with it they are. It's very hard to break that news to somebody. I remember my English teacher in high school that I told about Atlas, the first thing that he said after I showed him a post that I wrote, I think it was a Yemen post. It was one of our very few and fledgling things that we tried to do, where it was like long form analysis posts.
Oh yeah.
Yemen. Yeah. I was proud of that, but it didn't do particularly great, but it still had like 17,000 likes or something like that at the time, which was really big at the time. That's like, what we had been really proud of. So we showed, or no, it was 7,000, sorry, not 17. Jeez, I misspoke. But I showed him, it was like 7,000 likes or something like that. And the first thing that he pointed out was that I used the syntax error. And I was just like, fuck you, guy. Like, for real? Like, one of your students is showing you this and you're just like, oh yeah, it's a grammar mistake. Good job, idiot.
Dude, there's so many spelling mistakes in my work, and like, it's bad. Like, it looks unprofessional, and I'm like, sorry to everybody, but it's like, I will just write stuff and I get so excited to just post it to see what you all think. And I just don't look it over. And it's just like, I remember once, it's not very funny considering the circumstances, but I was talking about some like suspect and something, and I was trying to type out that she shot herself, but then like autocorrect was like, she shit herself. And I posted it and I was like, fuck. And nothing is,
it doesn't matter how quick you fix it too.
Yeah. And complete,
there's always somebody.
Complete side note. Like, obviously I have a personal Instagram account. I'm not divulging it, obviously, but, and I have like a bunch of backup accounts.
You can totally have it if you just imprint your credit card number, the three wacky numbers on the back, and your expiration date right in the comments of one of our Instagram posts. I promise I'll see it.
But, I will post Atlas posts on my personal account all the time by accident, 'cause I'm just like not paying attention. So like,
I did that too.
I'll post something and I'll be like sitting there waiting, and like, it will get like zero likes and one comment after like 20 minutes. I'm like, what the hell? And I look, it's on my personal, and it's just like one of the handful of people that know that I run the account is like, wrong page, dude. And I'm like, fuck. So then I put it up.
I did that so many times, and people were like, what? Because I didn't tell many people like in my personal life, just because I didn't really care to tell anybody at the time. I told like people that I wanted to impress, like that aforementioned English teacher, and then getting shot down like that, I was like, all right, never mind, never again. But yeah, I was like, something, Iran missiles. And then my cousin is like, what are you talking about? And then just delete, repost.
Yeah, especially like back in the day, like Instagram was very lenient with graphic content on the platform.
And very lenient.
I would throw people for a loop by posting some like obscene stuff on my personal account by accident.
Yeah.
And it's just funny looking back at it. I actually just did it like yesterday. I forget what I was talking about, but I literally did it the other day.
I didn't see that on your personal.
Yeah, I took it down like in an instant. It was like, I saw it, like as soon as I posted it, I saw like my handle and I was like, fuck. So I took it down. Moving on.
Now I'm just waiting for the day where you like do a dedicated post about like that new kitten that you guys got and you accidentally put it on Atlas News.
No, I posted a picture of my dog on Atlas once. It was a dog, not my cat. Back in high school, I went to go post a picture of my dog on Instagram, and I posted it. And I posted it, and I don't do that frequently. Like, I do it sometimes.
You and I never post on our personals at all.
No. I'll go like a year in between posting. But when I posted more frequently in high school, I posted a picture of my dog wrapped up in a blanket. And I was like, oh, it's cold outside. And I just got
That's shit. All we needed, motherfucker.
I just got shit on relentlessly. It was so bad.
They're like, he lives somewhere where it's cold. That knocks out 90% of the planet. Let's go.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, I mean, granted, that's the first, and also knock on wood again, that is the only time in my life I posted something meant for my personal onto Atlas, but all the time I post stuff meant for Atlas on my personal, and I get like super paranoid about it now, where like I'll triple check, like for when I do post on my personal, like I'll triple check to make sure I'm on the right account. And it's going to happen again. I know it is. I'm waiting for the moment that I post a picture of just something stupid meant for my personal account onto Atlas, and like me doxing myself or something. But
I'm glad that we don't have like Finstas or anything like that. We never really fell into that that sort of trend.
Dude, those are so awful.
Then you'd just be shitposting, and maybe that'd be better actually, but shitposting about something like personal or calling one of our friends a dipshit. And then it's just like right on the Atlas page to 300,000 people. It's very fucked up.
Do people even use fences anymore? Like, is that even a thing? That was like very high school, beginning of college.
I don't know. My girlfriend has one and she follows her friends. So, I mean, yeah, I think they do. We're not in high school anymore. So, but I definitely think the youngins, you know, the zoomers who are below us definitely don't.
No, nobody that I know, not like my friends' younger siblings. I don't think any of them have them.
It's just like funny TikToks now.
Oh, dude. And speaking of TikTok, I don't have TikTok myself. I personally do not have TikTok. And
we don't want to make an Atlas TikTok, but eventually we will probably have to.
We'll be forced into the market eventually. However, I currently do not have one for Atlas or for myself, but my girlfriend has one, and I took it upon myself the other day to see what Atlas content is on TikTok. And it's not a lot. Like some girl, I don't even know what her handle is, but she was talking about the referendum results. But then there's like this one guy that like,
I just thought of something.
What?
We're going to have to definitely make a TikTok for Atlas and then not use it right after this podcast is published, because somebody's going to take the screen name now.
I think
he's going to take the handle.
Somebody already took the handle. That's all right, though. And that's another thing, too, you motherfuckers. When I was getting all deleted and stuff, people taking all the Atlas News handles. It's like, dude,
he's doing six next.
Dude, you don't understand. It's like, Instagram finds it super fishy if you have a bunch of accounts linked. So, like, they'll delete. They'll like ban you for suspicious activity. And I think that's the main reason why Atlas 2 got deleted, is because I was making so many backup accounts at the time. But it's like
strikes. I think that's, I mean, the main reason.
It literally only had like two strikes.
Yeah, but Zuck is like a fickle beast, you know? He'll spank you like five times and then like let you off with a warning. And then the next time he'll spank you once or twice and then shoot you in the head.
Dude, in the words of Patty the Batty, I want to punch Mark Zuckerberg in the face and put that on the record. And I mean it. But
slousers don't get knocked out.
What was that?
Is it slousers don't get knocked out? Is that what he said? I don't know. It's some like British slang thing.
No, he was like, he's like, Mark Zuckerberg, I'm going to punch your head in, lad. Cause he like kept deleting his account.
No, there's his like call to fame. Like when Patty the Batty first like got out onto the mainstream, he said, slousers don't get knocked out, or it's some funny British slang thing. And he said that, and it became like the rallying cry.
Gotcha.
I love Patty the Batty. That's the only man who can drop like 80 pounds in a weekend, and it doesn't make me want to throw up.
I'm not too big into UFC. I want to more. It's just that like I hate having to pay to watch the fights. And it's
I don't know this person at all, but maybe they have a bigger audience than me, but there's a bunch of documentaries from this guy on YouTube. I'll go look up his name right now. Some live research, but he does like UFC documentaries, and they're so good. As somebody who doesn't really watch that much UFC because I don't want to pay for it, it's like the next best thing.
I'm big on baseball and like other sports stuff.
His name is Patrick Gavia. Patrick Gavia. He has about 200,000 subscribers on YouTube, and his first video was a year ago.
My favorite sports people, John Boy Media. Shout out to the boy. I love his content, and not everybody likes sports, but I enjoy John Boy Media.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, they do like breakdowns. So best
is it baseball?
Well, it doesn't matter the sport. They do it for a bunch of sports. Now, at first it was baseball, but for me, their most entertaining videos is they will break down ejections and lip read what they're saying to each other.
That's very funny.
And it's just like, they're just swearing at each other the entire time. But I just think it's absolutely hilarious. And me personally, I love baseball.
Baseball players are very funny with what they say, because they know it's not on, like, you know, recording. They'll go off.
Dude, I heard Aaron Rodgers say fuck over that. Like, obviously it wasn't even like a hot mic thing. You could just hear it. He yelled it so loud during the game on a
Have you ever
Sunday.
Watched those commentator, it's the commentators, like, awkward conversations and awkward things that, like, the old ones say, like compilations. It's really funny.
It's like a cockeye fastball, and they're like, what?
Yeah, that was a cockeye fastball. I've seen that one.
I love those.
That was very good.
But to get back on track, because I don't want to keep this
back on track.
Back on track.
I think this is way too long. We're going to need to cut this down. But
No, we don't. We're fine.
Oh, we don't. Okay.
We'll wrap it up.
If you say so.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here. We don't need to cut anything. They can hear us talk. But essentially, the last thing I wanted to just touch upon before we go is just where Atlas is going. So obviously we have the website, the app, and now finally the fucking podcast. But where we're going, documentaries. First one, yes. Big. A lot of documentaries.
Big.
We want to really get involved with the the journalist community that focus on documentaries, especially, like, you know, quote unquote, the smaller guys. Our big thing is, like, you know, we want to stay alternative when it comes to, like, you know, we don't want to be traditional. So we really want to partner up with people. So if you're listening to this and you make documentaries, feel free to hit us up, because
they don't cost $15,000 to produce.
We will talk to you. And thing two is, you know, we really want to expand the app to have a bunch more features. And, you know, I'm not going to say too much, but exciting stuff is on the way. A lot more features. And we are constantly...
I think I can definitely say this. Comments are on the way on the website.
Yeah, we can leak that. We're going to have comments finally. I know that's a big thing for a lot of people. Finally going to get comments.
And which, yes, we hear you. We understand frequency of posting. We're still trying to find a balance. Partnered articles are a huge, huge part of the ecosystem of the app right now. But don't worry, there will be more, like, short form content that's going to outshine the Instagram very soon. It's just, we have a lot of projects going on all at once. So, you know, that feedback has not been ignored. It's just, it's hard to implement everything at once.
Yeah. And there's so many hours in a day, and granted, like, you know, I'm guilty of it. I want to post more than I do, but
we both work full time as well.
Yeah. We work full time.
We should mention that.
Yeah. We work full time, and also, you know, we're trying to run a lot of the backside stuff too. So it's like, there's so many hours in a day, and you need to eat and sleep. And I think that I think you will all be very pleased with what's coming down the pipeline in the next few weeks.
Just to shore up kind of, again, when it comes in the future as well, we will be doing some collaborations, for some, I guess I'll leak it a little bit. We'll cut it out if not, and we'll cut out that part if we're not cutting it out. Basically, we're going to be starting to do more apparel drops. That in the future is going to be a huge, huge part of our branding. You know, if you're into that sort of stuff, that's amazing. Keep listening. If you're not into that sort of stuff, I'm not going to shove it down your throat. So don't worry. Just skip ahead or something. I don't know. But basically, when it comes to apparel drops, we're going to try and do some collaborations with some really awesome designers and get some really cool stuff out there. That's not just like a globe or our logo. It's just going to be like really unique and really cool designs. And I can't wait for that. That's a huge thing that I've been working on for a little while now, mostly convincing people to do it. And now that we are finally going in that direction, I'm super excited. So we got a lot of stuff in the pipeline.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. And what's awesome is that, you know, we have a lot of projects that we're working on now. We got a lot of projects planned for the future, and it's all for you guys. Cause in reality, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you guys. You're the ones that wanted it. And yeah, you know, we're not doing it just for shits and giggles. We do it because you guys want it. So,
yeah. And we're going to try and have like an unscripted show like this. If you guys want more like scripted, professional, I shouldn't say professional, cause this is professional. Sort of
professional, like quasi professional.
Fine. But if you wanted more, you know, deeply produced content for podcasts, please let us know. We're thinking about doing some shows. This main podcast is probably going to be a little bit more informal, a little bit more of a way for us to kind of connect with the audience a little bit more on a level that we haven't been able to, through posting dry OSINT related stuff. But this is going to be a little bit more of an informal podcast, but we can do some more, because the first podcast that we kind of were pitching was going to be a little bit more of like a scripted content sort of push. And that one was going to be a little bit more of like a historical kind of understanding of like how a lot of these conflicts get started, how a lot of these concepts that we have in the modern world when it comes to mainly conflict and warfare, how a lot of these things get together. The first one that I was going to pilot was going to be about mercenaries, and PMCs and the history of them and how they got started. But I don't know if that would be necessarily interesting for our audience anymore. Maybe it'd be more about like Ukraine, because that's something that you and I deeply know.
Well, dude, fucking there's PMCs in Ukraine on both sides. Like,
that's true. That.
But like, talking about a point that I said before, it's like, you know, starting off, we're going to be bi-weekly. But I think as we get more into it and we get the rhythm down and we, like, you know, get more used to this, because honestly, I think this is the first time that a vast majority of you have ever heard my voice. And if you don't like the way I sound, fuck you. But I think I sound fine. But you're going to have to hear my voice a lot more.
Like my voice, that hurts my feelings. Please stop. I'm very fragile.
We're gonna, you know, as things get going and we're more comfortable with this, we're gonna really up the amount of content. So not only, you know, we're gonna have like bi-weekly episodes to just this with the stuff I talked about, but you know, in between then, we'll have like side projects where it's like, you know, T, if you want to spend a couple weeks writing up a script for something like that, go for it. And then we might do some you know, live streaming stuff where it's like, all right, there's something going on or something just happened, and like it'd be me and Tesseron or me and Our Wars Today or me and some other page in our niche little corner of Instagram.
You shouldn't keep naming names, because some of them might say no, you know? We don't want to.
Tesseron's not going to fucking say no.
I know Tesseron won't say no. I know.
And I know everybody that writes for us isn't going to say no, but like, it just in general, like, people, like, we can get on real quick and talk about what's happening and what we know and what we don't know and whatnot. So there's a lot of space for more content.
We don't have like a huge presence on Twitter, which is like how most of these people kind of get like connections. It's I hate Twitter in a lot of ways, but it is really, really good for connecting like influencers together. And I hate that word, but that's what we are, unfortunately. So if you know anybody, the 10 people plus both of our moms watching this, if you know anybody and you want us to collaborate with them, please like send us a tip or something, you know, talk to us. We do read our Instagram DMs, unfortunately. So if you want to ever be like, hey, I would love for you to work with X person, I don't even have an example. But you know, this would be like a sick collaboration. Please let us know, because you know, it's way harder to actually know like who's in this little insular community that is kind of the OSINT ecosystem of like social media.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the like Instagram side of OSINT and then the Twitter side of OSINT is pretty separate.
Yes,
very separate. I'd love to merge the two, because I feel like there's a huge separation. And I'd love to, you know, just kind of make one giant ecosystem for everybody to benefit from. But yeah. I guess with that, we could probably start wrapping this up. So before we get going, I just want to say thank you everybody for tuning in. Obviously this might have been a little boring for some of you, but this is just kind of our pilot episode, just talking about, you know, what's in store and also giving you guys a little bit of context about the page if you didn't know. But if you don't know, we have a website. Link is in the bio. We post more than we post on the Instagram there. We got more long form soon. Hopefully we'll have some features where you're going to get a lot more content real quick.
Short-term content.
Bite-sized bits. But website's awesome. Made by some great guys.
Please use the app as well. The app.
We got an app.
Yep. The app is launching in its next form pretty soon. Kind of like a new beta. So I am super thankful to everybody who downloaded it and has been giving us feedback, because we do really, really model all of our, content development off of that feedback. So thank you. Thank you to anybody who's been in communication with, our developers.
And just to say, if you don't like the app, you got the website. And if you don't like either, you got the Instagram. So, you got a bunch of different places to get your stuff. And as I always say, the Instagram will never be watered down. It will only be expanded upon with all of our other platforms.
Documentaries.
Documentaries and this bullshit that we're doing right now.
Podcasts, apparel, OnlyFans. It's all coming. It's all coming.
Yeah. Atlas OnlyFans.
Just going to put a picture of like phallic drones.
I'll strap a dildo to a drone and then fly it at something.
You know, those memes where it's like, the change in U.S. Presidential like leadership is just like the drone, like the UAV. And then it's like the UAV with the BLM and like LGBTQ flag on it.
Oh, like the Reaper drone.
The Reaper drone. It's just going to be like that. But instead, we're just going to like post somebody else's content on the drone and just call it Atlas News OnlyFans. If anybody would pay for that, please tell me, because that's a good revenue stream.
If anybody pays for that, you should contemplate life. But
call the authorities.
Yeah. So, yeah, just wrapping it up here. Just want to say thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Obviously, my name's Atlas. It's not my real name, but I think it essentially is now, because I've gone by it for 8 years now. This is just the first step in a great journey that has literally been years in the making. It started off as a tiny, tiny Instagram page and has now come to here. And I'm very thankful, because it wouldn't have been possible without you guys. And I would say next episode, we hope to get some really exciting content out to you guys, get somebody on here to talk. Who it is, we don't know yet. Really get this ball moving. So I just want to say thank you again.
More to come.
More to come. All right, T. I think this is good to wrap it up. So one last thing, website, app, check it out if you haven't yet. And also Instagram, share it with your friends, share it with your mom. Doesn't matter who.
Share it with my mom. I know you two are talking.
Yeah. Thanks again, everyone. And see you next time.